Shalom ubracha. I hope everyone is having a easy, meaningful tainus. Everyone had a lichtiga Rosh Hashanah, Shabbos Shuva. Looking forward to Gemara v'chasima taiva for us, for Klal Yisrael. I'm going to record, as it were, the appendix, I guess. There's a few paragraphs over here. Shayach to Ais Aleph, Ais Gimel, a couple to Ais Dalid. And without doing a separate introduction or summary, this is all contained in the earlier Shiurim. But I guess you could say it's a little bit of cleanup, and then we could start fresh with Torah Chaf Dalid. So in Ais Aleph, we had started off Kiyesh Panim Dekdusha. Panim, the Panim itself could be a total Shiur. But Panim, when you look in something's face, you could see whether it's alive itself. You could see the relationship. It's the interface, the warmth, the connection is in the face. And we aligned a lot of concepts in the Ais Aleph. Panim Dekdusha, An Pin Hayrin, Chayim, we just spoke about. The attachment to Chayim is the divine energy, the attachment to Elohim Chayim. Simcha, Shlemus, in the last year we talked about Ezu Asher, Sameach Pachelko, a person who's an Asher, they broke through Taivas Mammon. This is a person who's alive, who's attached to the source, as opposed to Panim de Sitra Achra, the other side, not the source. It's something at a lower altitude, it's temporary. If it's not if it's presenting itself as its own source, it has its own priorities, it's an alternative, then it's not really alive. There might be intermotion, but it's Be'etzem darkness. It could just be a reflection, as it were. It's presenting itself as being meaningful, but this is Marash Chaira, Avay Dezara, Elohim Acherim, and we went through it, and then we attached that, we understood why Taivas Mammon is representative of Avodah Zarah, and really something that's attached to Maves. Over here, Shayach La'is Aleph, I have it in mind as being Ois Yud Aleph, Shem Vayir Shehamamayin Hu Bechinas Panim. That money represents Panim. You could look at in two different ways. Either somebody who's Neifel, who falls into Taivas Mammon, he's tied to the Panim of the Sitra Achra, or the way that we started off, a person who does Maso Matan Be'amuna, a person who relates to money in the appropriate way, and we even said at the end of the last year that it's not just that this Mammon to be used in a good way, in an appropriate way, or in a bad way. Mammon itself is actually a relationship to the source. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us Shefa, Bracha. One of the ways that he gives it to us is through money so that we could spend it. Mammon is Be'etzem Mammon de Kedusha, and a person who relates to Mammon in the inappropriate way, then that's not even, it's money, I guess, but it's not Mammon. Another theme, I guess you could say, that we've been discussing is that sometimes a person wants an item, they want food, they have a certain desire. Mammon is a hech timtzeh to get it. But when a person has taivas mammon, then they relate to the mammon as an end in and of itself, even though they could be a person who has mental health issues. They end up dying with millions of dollars under the mattress and they never spend it. They die as a pauper with a tremendous amount of perceived wealth, as it were, under the proverbial mattress. So that when we relate to mammon, it's interesting. Mammon is all presentation. The mammon is not the desire. The mammon is not the item itself. The mammon is either a connection to the source. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is siphoning off, so to speak. He's giving you from the source, giving you from the reservoir so that you can further direct it where you need it. Or the mammon is representing, I guess, power, the power to spend, the power of bilus over resources, money very much. I think it's interesting to say is that it's a bechina of panim. It's not the thing itself. It's really what it represents. V'alkein amar Rabbi Sein Zochrono Levracha, pnei ha'aretz heim ha'ashirim. When see, there's a pasuk in Bereishis says harav hoya al kol pnei ha'aretz, perek mem aleph pasuk nun vav, that there was a famine on al kol pnei ha'aretz, on the face of the land. So the pnei ha'aretz heim ha'ashirim. Moshe Pirish Rashi al Pasuk. Rashi says by it on the Pasuk by Mitzrayim, Harav Hoya al Kol Pnei Haaretz, Mihem Pnei Haaretz, Elu Haashirim. Why do we relate to the Ashirim? The first Pnei Haaretz Heim Ashirim is coming from Medrash, but why is Rashi telling us that the Pnei Haaretz are the Ashirim? Ki Amamon v'Haashiris hu Bechinas Panim Kanal. Therefore, the people, even though we said a person can be, we relate to an ashir as somebody who has a lot of money. Some people who are ashirim could really be paupers. They could be tremendously in debt. So what we relate to as a borrowed term, as it were, somebody who's an ashir is not really, it's not really true ashiris. Ezu ashir asameach b'chelko. from the end of the last year. But with the when Rashi says who are the Pnei Haaretz, the people who have the Mammon, because Mammon is Ashiras, that's a Bechina of Panim. Sham, also in Ois Aleph, Taivas Mammon Hu Bechinas Chayshech, and when a person relates to Taivas Mammon, they're pursuing the end in and of itself, instead of understanding it as a pipeline, which is giving us Shefa and Bracha from the source, which is Mammon, so that we can divert it for what we need, but rather they have a Taiva just for this interim vehicle, this interim mechanism, which is Mammon, that's Anpin Chashaychin. They're divorcing themselves from the source. They're turning, not only are they pursuing not the true source, but another source, but they're pursuing something that's actually only a medium for something. It's very interesting. In other words, the sun could be a source of light, so I could say, instead of wanting the sun, I want an electric light. But if I'm sitting there pursuing an electric wire, there's not even any light coming off of it. So the fact that we're replacing the source of Shefa and Bracha with money, which is only meant to be able to spend, to be able to get something, is, again, we spent a lot of time talking about it, but it's profound when you're really mizbainin on this idea. Ayin Sham. V'chein Rumas Bezayar, Kate Sam L'Chayshech. Hashem puts an end to the Chayshech. It's Pasuk in Iyov. Da Zuma D'Dahava. This is the dross, as it were, of gold. We said earlier that when a person relates to Mammon, there's Nisyanis, there's challenges, but there's also Tziruf. There's clarifying, there's elevating Birurim. When a person clarifies, then there's a dross. When they purify, rather, then there's a dross. There's Zuma. This Zuma Dezav. So over here in the note, he goes into something from the Zayar that Zahav represents Gvura, and the Zuma is like the Sitra Achra that relates to Gvura. But in our terms, what would be the dross of the gold? The falsehood in the desire for money, as opposed to living in the Eretz HaChayim, as opposed to relating to the true source of life. They're relating to the container, as it were, you could say, right? The wrapper. That would be, maybe in our terms, perhaps we can relate to that as the dross. That's the part that you throw away. That's the part that you have to clarify. Something is integrated, and then you take the fruit, you throw away the peel. Okay, that's piece one. Second piece, Shayach L'Ois Gimel. We'll just remind ourselves what we said in Ois Gimel, quoted a pasuk from the brachas of Moshe Rabbeinu to Klal Yisrael, Vayigarash Mipanecha Oyev, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will drive away from your panim, your enemies. Mipanecha Dikdusha, Vayomer Hashmeid. Okay, and he goes on, but what we said is that a tzaddik is somebody who's attached to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We associated Shmiras Habris with tzaddik, tzaddik Yisoid Olam, Kol Yisrael Nikrim Tzaddikim, that when a person's attached to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when they're a tzaddik, when they have Shmiras Habris, and a person gets into opposition to a tzaddik, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to cause them to lose power. He drives them away. What does he do? He causes them to fall into Taivas Mammon. He divorces them from the Pneim de Kedusha so that they fall to the Panim to Sitra Achra. Now, instead of being attached to Chayim, to vibrance, to the source, they are now attaching themselves, subscribing to the Sitra Achra, and now they are going to be destroyed. They're not going to be as powerful. It's like a little bit of a different point. The Balatanya says an example of two people that are fighting. Even if one of them, in a physical sense, is more powerful, which person is going to win? The fighter, the wrestler who has simcha, who has enthusiasm, he's more vibrant. Another person, even if he's stronger, if he's ba'atzfus, like we said over here in Mara Shchaira, the person who's ba'atzfus is going to lose. So therefore, if two people are in opposition, the one who's a tzaddik, the one who has chayim, the one who has simcha, that's going to be the person who ultimately has more energy that he's going to persevere. It's more deeply rooted as opposed to the one who's attached to atzvus. And therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will cause the enemy to fall into Taivas Mammon so that he will ultimately not persevere against the tzaddik. So let's see inside. Shayach Lois Gimel, Vayigarash Mipanecha Oyev. He will drive the enemy away from your panim, vayomer hashmeid, and say, destroy. Ki kol Yisrael nekrom tzadikim al shem habris, because all of Klal Yisrael, through the mitzvah of bris milah, through mesiras nefesh over bris milah, but through the mitzvah of bris milah, are tzadik yisayid oilam, they have an attachment to the panim to kedusha. Ayin Sham. Va'al kein, and therefore, yuchal kol echad shu shomer abris yoyser mechaver, or when a person is does shmiras abris more than their opponent, they're more attached to shmiras abris, they're more attached to the panim kedusha, to chayim, to vibrance, to life itself, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, lahapil es chaveray, then that will cause the other person, what's the mechanism whereby one person is going to be successful over the other, where they're more attached to life, so what's going to happen is the other person is going to be more receptive and more susceptible, rather, to the forces that are at a lower altitude, and therefore they'll fall into Taivas Mamon when they go up to fight against somebody who's a tzaddik kisayd oilam. Kihu b'chinas tzaddik panim dekdusha, because the person who has shmiras abris, he's a b'chin of tzaddik and panim dekdusha legabe chavero, as opposed to the other one. So everything is in the erchin, and therefore when somebody is coming in opposition to the tzaddik, in opposition to the to somebody who is in line with the panim dekdusha, they will end up being receptive, aligning themselves with the panim de sitra achra, which is taivas mamon, and once they subscribe to taivas mamon, that's avodah zara. They're basically cutting themselves off from the source. They won't be successful in this fight. Va'olav nemer gam kein vayigoresh mipanecha oyev. And it says that he will drive, that Kadosh Baruch will drive from panecha your enemies, that they'll fall to taivas mamon. Val kein tzorach lizar kashiyesh machlekes al adam, if a person is going up against somebody, shelo yipol l'sech chukas hamamon. What is the mechanism where somebody is going to lose in this battle through fighting Taivas Mammon? And therefore, if a person has to be very careful, if they're going up against another person, Tzaddik, we don't know where a person is truly holding, and they find that they're falling to Taivas Mammon, they should be sensitive and spiritually to what's going on. Ki ulai chaveru panim dekdusha negdo. They might have the best of intentions, but if you're having an opposition, it has nothing to do with money, and now you find that you are becoming more shaku and Taivas Mammon, then a person should stop short and say, first of all, is this a fight that I should be having? Is this a fight that maybe my intentions are not pure? Maybe this person is more of a tzaddik than I am. A person should understand the spiritual physics of what's going on, which means that this person is going to send me into the pit of Taivas Mamon, because that's how HaKadosh Baruch Hu was going to drive away from him his enemies. And the nefila is that the opponent who's less worthy, who's less of a tzaddik, is going to fall to Taivas Mamon. Al kein tzarach lizar mizeh. Therefore, we have to be alert. We have to be on lookout for this. Therefore, also, if a person does find that he's going to end up in opposition, whether he, I guess, is on the offensive, or maybe he didn't even do anything, maybe he's on the defensive, as it were, and somebody is coming to oppose him, but even with the best of intentions, a person, first of all, if you're ever going into this type of thing, be extra careful in Shmir Sabris, and second of all, if they find that they're falling to Taivas Mamon, a person should be very careful, understand what's going on. Sham, further in Ice Gimel, Ki Kol Yisrael Nikram Tzadikim Al Shem Abris, all of Klal Yisrael is called Tzadikim because of Abris, Shemati Oz Mipiva Kadosh Beferish, Rabbi Nosson says, I heard from Rabbeinu, Shamar Shekol Yisrael Aidei, Shem Nimailim, all of Klal Yisrael through their Bris Mila, Al Kain Kulam Nikram Tzadikim, therefore they are all called Tzadikim. There's actually a very powerful note over here from Rav Chaim Kramer in the English Likutei Moran, note 151. He says, any mitzvah that the Jewish people willingly sacrifice their lives to fulfill, such as bris milah, such as denial of idolatry, they continue to steadfastly observe to this day. So that's a Gemara in Shabbos. When a person has mesiris nefesh, that makes something that makes this mitzvah very well founded. And he continues on, our sages said this following an especially dark period of Jewish history known as the generation of Shmad, which that language of Shmad comes up in Ois Gimel, of forced conversion, which followed on the heels of the destruction of the second Beis HaMikdash, when the Jews willingly endangered their lives to fulfill the commandments of circumcision and denial of idolatry. Now here we have a question. You just told me that Mesiris Nefesh in Bris Milah is going to attach one to the source. How did they end up in a period of Shmad? How did they end up in a period of where they faced destruction? And he continues over here. He says, the Roman conquerors of the Holy Land, infamous for their immorality and greed, employed every possible means to divorce the Jews from Torah and mitzvahs into idolatry. right? But it didn't work. It says, the Jews resisted with the sort of self-sacrifice that repeatedly decorates our history, the ultimate offering of life itself. So it seems that all of the pieces were in place for Klal Yisrael to beat the Romans. How did they end up in destruction? Seen in the context of our lesson, we can explain that the Jews of that generation were ready to sacrifice their very lives in order to be attached to the Or HaPanim. Toward that end, they did their utmost to carry out the mitzvah of Bris Milah, Shmir Sabris, through which a person attains Or HaPanim. So again, this seems to be that the Klal Yisrael should have been able to overcome their enemies. With this, they hoped to subdue the Roman idolaters, as in, he shall drive the enemy from your countenance, the countenance of holiness which comes through the covenant, and proclaim Hashmed. And then he goes on to say they were always also Meiser Nefesh in the realm of Avodah Zarah. So the Meiser, how did they fall? With the Shmir Sabris, with the Mesiris Nefesh, there was Sinas Chinam, there was Lashon Hara, and instead of fighting their common enemy, the Jews fought each other. I mean, this was it's an unbelievable powerful point, especially today, as well, when we think about the amount of people in the world, and we think about the amount of Jews in the world, and the amount of Jews that even know they're Jewish, people, many, many people barely know they're Jewish, or they're intermarried, the people that are Yidden, and they live as Yidden, and they live within the Dalamas of Halacha, they identify as Orthodox, and people that have an attachment, they daven three times a day, and the people that are learning, and the people that are working on themselves, working on Midos, where we end up, any Yid can do tshuva, and any Yid can be unbelievably pure, and they're all Hashem's children. But when we think about people that are sitting and they're in the Olam HaYeshivas, they could be Litvish, they could be Hasidish, they could be different types of Hasidus, whatever it is, the amount of people that are bringing HaKadosh Baruch Hu into the world is such a small percentage. I was thinking to myself, you know, some of us, Baruch Hashem, are spoiled. We live in very frum communities. And to us, that becomes our entire perspective. And we're spoiled by it. And then we develop our own competitions and our own tainas on other people who might not be like us. They have different ways of doing things. If we would look at ourselves as being the drop in the bucket numbers-wise that we were, we see, Rachman al-Islan, in certain times of adversity in Eretz Yisrael, the amount of achdus that comes out, what changes? Nothing really changes. I mean, sometimes, unfortunately, there's a tremendously negative event. What changes is just the perspective. We open up our eyes, and instead of looking in our Dalet Amos and seeing 1,000 people around us, 10,000 people, 100,000 people around us, we realize that there's billions of people against us, and we're just a small amount of people. At a certain point, why are we fighting amongst ourselves on our side of the table? We're all on the same side of the table. And he says over here that because instead of fighting a common enemy, they were focused on fighting each other, each one was able to defeat his enemy by causing him to succumb to the idolatrous desire for money. And once the Jews were guilty of idolatry, the second temple was destroyed. So there you have Sinas Chinam. We say Sinas Chinam is Lashon Hara, and we say that in the second Beis HaMikdash, the Sinas Chinam is like Gilei Arayos, Avodah Zarah, Shfichas Damim. How could that be? Perhaps we could say, so when Jews are fighting, this causes that one of the sides is going to fall into Taivas Mammon. Taivas Mammon is like Avodah Zarah. Perhaps we could say that the fight itself brings Shfichas Damim. Certainly embarrassing another Yid, but in whatever realm, there's Shfichas Dam over there. And Gilei Arayos, we said that that the one who's going to win is the one who's more careful in Shmir Sabris. So we see these in Yanim of Gilei Arayos, Shfichas Dam, and Avodah Zarah associated with opposition between Jews, with Sinas Chinam. Maybe we could say like that. Okay, Viter. The next piece is Shayach La'ois Dalid. Ois Dalid, we said that the mitzvah of mezuzah helps a person attain faith, joy, and life because mezuzah corresponds to Shmir Sabris from Chaim Kramer's note. Let's see what he has to say over here. V'zeh b'chinas mezuzah, that a mezuzah is a b'china of Shmir Sabris. Again, go back to the other piece. And through the mitzvah of mezuzah, therefore, through aligning with Shmir Sabris, through the Arpanim, through Tzadik Yisayid Olam, that the person is going to be Zaycha to break the Taivas Mammon. We just saw in the last piece that if there's an opponent, that opponent will fall into Taivas Mammon, because Taivas Mammon is what throws a person off course, and that acts as a separation from the source. V'zehu v'hoya shakai b'tzarecha, And this is the meaning of Shakai, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, will be your treasure. V'kesef toyaf v'islach, and money will fly to you. So we all want parnasa. We're davening for parnasa. It's Yom Nerom. We're davening for parnasa. What could a person do? Mezuzah. Ki Shakai hu b'chinas bris. Because Shakai corresponds to b'china of bris. We quoted a pasuk before. Ani kel Shakai, pray urevei. And this was a b'china of mezuzah, because mezuzah was associated with Shakai, and Shakai is associated with pruvu. Ayin Shakai. V'zeh b'chinas, this the Chazal said, Mesechtes Chagiga, Shakai, She'omar lo'olamai dai. What's Shakai? It stands that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has where the world was unfolding out, and at some point HaKadosh Baruch Hu is creating the world, and he says, enough, the world is a world of gvul, it's a physical world, it's finite. So Kiviyochel HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Sameach, we could even say, with this Chelek, with this Chelko, this perfectly suited HaKadosh Baruch Hu's needs. This was where the world was supposed to be. Shakai, that he said, this is where the world, this Chelek, this is this where that the world is. It could have continued to expand. This is the Shlemus of the world and HaKadosh Baruch Hu's purpose. Dahainu Shesameach B'chelkoi V'Omer Dai L'ma Sheyesh Lai. This is where HaKadosh Baruch Hu defined that the world itself should stop expanding when it could fulfill its purpose. And this is the way that we can achieve Shlemus, when we understand that the chelik that we have is perfect, doesn't need to expand. It's exactly where we need to be to fulfill our purpose, and our purpose is part of God's ultimate plan. We don't desire anymore. Too much is the same as too little. If, maybe it's even worse. If a person doesn't have enough, then they have something to. This is what I need in order to fulfill my purpose. They can daven for it. They can work for it. They can pursue it. When a person already has that and they're pursuing more, then that means that they're by definition they're already off course. And if they get it, then that's just going to throw them further off course, because either it's just going to be extra and it's going to, who knows what, sit in the bank, it's not going to be used, or they're going to use it, but if they're using it, it was unnecessary, then they're using it for the wrong goal. Shezeu b'china shviris taivas mamon shezeich ma'idei shmiris habris kanal. This idea of sameach b'chelko, of saying die, that it's enough, is shviras taivas mamon. Next piece is also shayach lo'is dalid, mevuar sham. Shalidei mitzvahs mezuzah nizbatel chemdas mamon. Through the mitzvah of mezuzah, a person's taivas mamon becomes batel, or this chemdas mamon. Val kain uchsavtem al mezuzos, and therefore you should write on the mezuzah, on the doorpost, parallels its keneged loisach moed kanal ayin sham. It's parallels from the aseres hadibros of loisach moed ayin sham. So we spoke about this also in the Torah, in the body of the main part of the Torah. Ata bore e niflois Hashem. Come see the wonders of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ki mavur b'Yerushalmi peya, says in the Yerushalmi, Artabon sholach l'Rebbe chad margalisa tava. Rav Chaim Kramer points out that Artaban was the king of Persia, whose philosophy in life is money is all and can buy anything, even in happiness. Brings it from the Fast Tire and Bereshis Rabbah. Okay, so Artaban sent Rebbe a pearl, a treasure. Sholach le Rebbe chad a mezuzah. Rebbe sent him back a mezuzah. V'lchayra hupele. Madu sholach le mezuzah daika. V'lo mitzvah acheres. So we could say that Rebbe is saying, you're focused on the physical treasure, in the Olam Hazeh. I'm focused on Olam Haba, on true treasure, on Nitzchias treasure. But why Dafka a mezuzah? He could have sent him any mitzvah. And if you're going to say that a mezuzah is a shmira, since this is also a shmira, there's a whole halachic question about sending a mezuzah to a guy, and what exactly was going on over there. Ach, al pi mashagila rabbeinu zal b'tayra zayis, with our tayra mavura inyan hetev ki mezuzah daika mevatel chemdas mamon. To understand this, I want to just read a little bit from the Gemara. It says, Artaban, who is the king of Persia, shalach l'Rabbeinu HaKadosh, to Rabbi Yehuda Anasi, chad margali tava atmiton. He sent him a particularly precious jewel, pearl. V'amar la shalach li mila de tava kavase. Send me something in exchange that has a similar value. Shalach le, Rabbi sent back, chad mezuzah mezuzah. Armalei, so Artaban said back, Ana shalachas lach mila delais la time. I sent you something that doesn't have a value. I sent you something priceless. Viat shalach li mila de tava chad poilar. And you send me something back, something that's for a coin. Amar lei chafetzecha v'cheftzi lo yishvuba. So Rebbe responded that all of my wealth and your wealth lo yishvuba doesn't equal the value of this mezuzah. V'lo od ele da'at shalach li mili da'ana minterlei. You send me something that I have to guard. Va'ana shalachis lach mila da'at. Damech, I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing it right. Damech lach v'him interlach, and I'm sending you back something that you can go to sleep, and it's going to guard you. D'chsev b'salecha tancha oisach b'shach b'cha tishmar alecha. Very similar to the Gemara by Unklus Hager. So now back to our Gemara. This Artaban had a tremendous value for money. He sends to Rebbe something that he perceives as being valuable. Now, remember, we defined mammon as not just being, well, this is more valuable, this is the money worth pursuing. Mammon, by definition, is mammon d'kedusha. Mammon, by definition, is attachment to the source, is attachment to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Rebbe sends him back, you're sending me something that you're saying is mammon, that's not mammon, this is mammon, and therefore I'm going to give you something that's going to break the chemdas mammon that you have, which is actually giving you a appreciation, a value for something that's sitra achra, that's not even mammon at all. V'alkein shalcho mezuzah daika davka mezuzah. Not just something that was another shmira, tzitzis could be a shmira. Ki artban shalcho margalisa tava hainu ashiras u mammon. Something that's ashiras or mammon, or at least he perceived to be ashiras or mammon. Kia yeshava mammon harbe, it was worth a lot of money. Ve'osa ikar hachashivus mizeh, and he made this chashivus, right? What's something that's valuable? Something that's worth money. But what's money? Something that could buy something valuable. No, money is something that's a pipeline to the source of shefa. So he sent, Rebbe Artaban sent him something that's worth money. And Rebbe said back, yes, but you're relating to money as an end in and of itself. If you want mammon, if you want to really understand the true value of what, not just money, but what mammon is, so I'm going to send you a mezuzah which would break the chemdas mammon. Alkein shalcho Rebbe keneged zeh mezuzah daika, ki mezuzah mevatel chemdas hashiras kanal, because mezuzah is mevatel the desire for money. And Rav Chaim Kramer brings down other Gemaras about Rabbeinu HaKadosh, that he was tremendously careful in the issues of Shmiras HaBris, and that Rabbeinu, even though he had a lot of wealth, he was the Nasi, at the end of his life he raised his 10 fingers towards Shemayim and said, Ribbono Shel Olam, that he never derived pleasure from this world. So Rabbeinu HaKadosh was also associated in the Gemara specifically with Shmiras HaBris, and also with achieving success in the realm of Chemdas Mammon, that he didn't benefit from this world. Okay, the last one, which is Shayach to Ozvav, which says that the Athenian scholars, the Ziknei Atuna, asked Rabbi Shua ben Chananya, Milcha Kisaria, salt when it spoils, how is it preserved? Ze Shenafel Sirchan Taivas Mammon. This person that falls to the spoilage of Taivas Mammon, what's his tikkun? We address this at length in the main Shiurim. Valkein Afku Beloshen. Therefore, the expression Kisaria Hu Loshen Anemr Ba'akum. They use the Lashon of Sari of spoilage, but this is a term that's used in connection with Avodah Zarah. K'mo shekosev Saru Maher, then the Pasuk, Saru Maher min aderach asher tzivisim, asu lahem egel masecha, that this Lashon of Saru, of turning, but of Sari, it makes the connection, is a Lashon that's used with Avodah Zarah. Why? Because ki ha-meshukah b'mamon oived kol ha'akum, kanal. We associated Taivas Mammon as the universal Avodah Zarah, the universal attributing something that's not a true source into a source of power, of shefa. This is what we're pursuing. Valkein al kol matbeah chakuka avodah zarah shel ha'akum. This is why the guy put on their money in G.O.D. We Trust. They inscribe with avodah zarah. They do this in an attempt, Chaim Kramer says, to assure that their gods will favor them with additional profits, so to speak. We already explained what profit, true profit is. However, this is a falsehood because it never lasts. The note over here goes on. And he also explains, very interesting, that that what are some of the ideas we associate with Taivas Mammon? Lending on interest, perhaps borrowing, putting oneself in debt where it's inappropriate. The idea that a person is not willing to wait for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to give them money in the right time, either they're charging additional money, they lend a fellow Yid money, but they're charging money for the time that it takes to pay back, because now they don't have money for a certain period of time, maybe they're going to need it, let's say, or the idea that a person is not willing to wait for Penasa to come, they need it faster, they need to borrow. And very interesting. I think this is the point that he's trying to make. What's time? Time, be'etzem, is process at its core. If we think about the most basic physical limitations of this world, space and time. When a person injects time into how they relate to money, so then they are subjecting money within the world, within the process. The money is not a direct connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who's above time. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not limited. HaKadosh Baruch Hu give you the money exactly when you need, how much you need, where you need, however it is. When a person is failing, or they have challenges to money, and it's specifically due to time, they're not willing to wait for it, or they're charging Jews interest for the time in waiting, they're now putting money within the realm of this world, and that's really be'etzem avodah zara. They're taking that source of shefa bracha, that attachment to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and they're saying that it's subject to the natural system, to the natural limitations. Perhaps that's one idea. It's the way that I understand this idea. Al pi advarim eila yavana maskil. For all of these things, up now the discerning person can understand. Lefaresh kula sugya. The other sugyas that come up in Shas, now we can understand. Nigla through the eyes of Nister. Dehazov kaina es hakesef. Hakesef eina kaina. Hanachayshes kaina. It's a sugya in Bav Metzia, where it talks about. When it comes, it's a little bit of a technical aspect. A land could be acquired with kesef, shtar, chazaka. Money, metaltlin, rather, can't be acquired with money. Metaltlin, movables, are acquired with an act of kinyan. It could be meshicha, could be hagbah. Has to be a certain act. When I pay you, what that does is it makes you amenable that I should perform a kinyan. Now, what happens in an exchange of money? We attribute one of those items as the pri. You're trying to acquire X with Y. That might be exchanging gold coins for silver coins. But in order to know when the sale is acquired, I acquired the item, and in exchange, you were acquired whatever you were giving me in exchange for that. So then the question is in this transaction, what's considered the pre, what's considered the item, and what's considered the money? The money doesn't, when I take the pre, when I take the item, so then the transaction is complete. But when you take the money, the transaction is not yet complete. And he learns in over here these ideas. What does it mean that money doesn't acquire? Because money is essentially tied to mavis, tied to chayshach, tied to temporary things, tied to sitra achra. There's no reality to mamon. And he says, if you understand these ideas, now you're going to be able to go back and learn these sugyas. Ve'aklal mashu matbea v'yoytzei chashuv mos. The thing that's a coin and it's spendable in the shuk, it's more easy to pass. Something that's an item, it's not as easily tradable for something else. Something that's money is more, has more commercial value. So the thing that's able to be spent in the shuk is chashuv the matbeah. That's what's chashuv the most. And once I understand what's the money, so then it has certain halachic ramifications. And if you understand these ideas, then you'll understand those gemaras as well. I in sham kolasugya v'sugi imos nikne b'chalipin. I can. There are certain times that I give you a chalipin. Literally means handkerchief. One way a kinyan chalipin is I give you a handkerchief and then I acquire whatever in exchange for the handkerchief. Another way is I give you a cow and then I acquire a donkey. One thing in exchange for the other. V'sugya de kolanas. Also this idea that I've exchanged two things. One of them is considered the money. I'm giving you X in order for Y. One of them is deemed the money. One of them is deemed the item. So this idea of defining something as ma'os in a particular transaction, then turn halach ramifications. He says, now that you have these principles, if you go back and you learn up those sugyas, so then they will fall in line. Hakol yivar lamaskil al piyatera zosim oid k'tas hakdamos. That all of these things, with a few additional introductions, you will now be able to understand these halachic sugyas and derech pnimius as well. If you look in Rav Chaim Kramer's note, he brings a meinachal that reviews this lesson in the light of Hanukkah, but just because of the time of the year, I'm going to mention one point that he makes. He says, when the qualities of truth and faith are intertwined in a person, we spoke about emes and emunah at length, he's willing to spend money for a mitzvah and feels no loss whatsoever the cost. We're mamish coming up to Sukkot, a time when we spend for beautiful Esra. etrog, that there's hider mitzvah, a person's supposed to spend up to an extra shlish. When we relate to the mitzvah, we relate to the arpanim, we relate to money as the source coming from a Kaddish Baruch Hu, it's a totally different dynamic, spending money on mitzvahs. And he goes on, we find that a poor person should even sell his shirt for the oil with which to kindle the Hanukkah lights, again tying into our Torah, the Hanukkah lights representing arpanim, so that a person would experience no loss in performing the mitzvah. And on, he says that the menorah should be placed by the door on the other side of the mezuzah, so that a person is surrounded by the mezuzah and the menorah, which is the Ar. But suffice it to say that this Torah, a person can review this Torah. We spoke about Mammon also, I believe, in Torah Yud Gimel. These Torahs are from the Torahs. Every Torah is just an entire universe, and really they say that you can learn the entire Likutei Moran through any particular Torah. But at our level, so much of our life is tied to parnasa, tied to supporting ourselves, and these tirahs can literally be totally transformative in how we relate to money and how we daven for money, in how we treat people on opposite sides of a transaction. And it's worth it to just go over this tirah until it starts to really make a reishim, mamish, words of the tzaddik directly to our heart. Okay, we're now going to move forward, Bez Hashem, Tirah Chaf Dalad.